This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening, and we have producer Tasha Fusil in the studios with us for stories, regaling us with stories from Dewan Rakyat, although today, by all accounts, maybe not so much.
Yeah, I'd say
so. I'm just trying to be honest with people. Manage expectations up front.
Yeah, today is going to be a little bit dry, so we'll do the best that we can.
It's dry despite the rain outside.
We're enjoying this internally a bit too much. Anyway, what updates do you have for us today?
Okay, we've got smoking updates. To start with, the Health Minister, Datuk Sri Zulkifli Ahmad, was asked to give the latest on the government's efforts to ban smoking in restaurants. So here's the progress so far.
Sebanyak 146,067 premis makanan telah diperiksa dan 31,422 notis yang telah dikeluarkan sebagai amaran. Dari jumlah tersebut, sebanyak 27,759 buah premis telah diberikan amaran kerana gagal meletakkan tanda larangan merokok serta 3,898 notis dikeluarkan bagi orang yang didapati merokok di kawasan kedai makan.
Oh, they've also received 23,805 complaints from January till November for people who are violating that 3 and 10 meter smoking rule, which he also explained was not an arbitrary number. Apparently, there's research that shows that your secondhand smoke is less likely to affect you within that 10. Once you step out of that 10 meter. Radius.
So I think that lets everybody who had, whipped out all the measuring tape and all that as a joke. I think for a little while it was a bit of a meme. That at least, puts paid to that.
And I didn't know this, or maybe I missed this in the news, but the Health Ministry offers a smoking cessation program called MQuit. It's actually been around since 2015. The Health Minister spoke about it briefly, so here he is with some numbers on the MQuit service.
Yang berdaftar untuk MQuit, adalah seramai 20,800 untuk sejak kita mulakan dan ini adalah program MQuit dengan kejayaan 32% yang kita target ya.
So brief numbers, 32% target. I'm not sure whether they've managed to achieve it. He didn't elaborate. But you can find this service at over 160 healthcare providers. That includes public clinics, hospitals, even pharmacies. So it seems quite accessible. I'm quite curious to know whether this MQuit service actually works, whether people know about it, whether they're using it.
I think it's kind of an important thing, partly because in this day and age that there are a lot of people who are insisting on continuing to smoke because you imagine it's good for your health. I think the days of doctors recommending it to pregnant women are long gone. So what we do have, I think, is a real problem in terms of resources. It is a really, really addictive thing. I know I'm stating the obvious, but I think it's an incredibly difficult thing to quit on your own. And that's why there are all these different measures that are put up, right? You've got your patches, you've got your hypnosis, you've got all these different methods coming in. And it's good to know that the government takes it seriously enough to attempt to centralize that kind of help, to have it all in a place, in a one-stop center of sorts where people can go and just kind of try to deal with it in that way.
And again, I think treating it similar to how the conversations about drug addictions also be moved in this direction, where it is more patient and health focused as opposed to saying, you will be punished if you don't quit. I think that really isn't the way to go.
I mean, I'm not sure how many people actually know that MQuit exists, because just looking at the people around me who have tried to quit smoking, right? They've been trying to do it by themselves, just on their own initiative. So I'm glad that we've uncovered MQuit. So if anyone out there is trying to smoke, trying to quit smoking, you can check out MQuit.
Yeah. Sorry, the website for that, I forgot to say, it's joanquit.moh.gov.my.
Oh, that's kind of cute. Okay, has anybody used this, actually? Has anyone used MQuit? And for that matter, how did you quit smoking? I've heard people talk about like really dramatic stories of just kind of exiting a gym, feeling really healthy, symbolically crushing that last packet of cigarettes and throwing it away. And then that just being the last cigarette they ever smoked. I also know people who have started, stopped, and it's been really, you know, long running. How did you quit smoking? If you did, have you used MQuit? Let us know. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
And well, usually in the same breath, we talk about smoking. Vaping is also brought up. Was that also something that was discussed?
Yes, it was. Dato' Sri Zulkifli talked about the latest breakthrough findings that could potentially explain this outbreak of vape-related illnesses that we're seeing.
Ada telah terbukti bahawa offending chemical, ya, yang paling terkini adalah, ya, satu bahan yang didapati ianya terdapat dalam chest X-ray ini, yang which is an oily component yang telah dikenal pasti sebagai vitamin E acetate, ya. Ini merupakan bahan yang berada pada hampir keseluruhan chest X-ray yang dibuat kaji penyelidikan ke atas ke atas patient, ya. Ini adalah satu yang sangat mencemaskan, walaupun bahan itu berada pada satu food supplement dan juga kepada skin cream, ya, penggunaan secara dermatologi, secara kulit, tetapi ianya dari sudut inhaling toxicity, ia sangat membuat apa yang diistilahkan hari ini sebagai EVALI or the lung induced diseases kerana vape, ya.
On a related note, the MP for Kapar, Dato' Abdullah Sani Abdul Hamid, held a PC today to speak on the behalf of the industrial vape industry, who are calling for vape regulations to be rolled out.
Hampir 2.5 juta rakyat Malaysia telah pun menggunakan vaping ini sebagai alternatif untuk berhenti merokok, rokok tembakau. Malaysia juga telah dikenal pasti sebagai pengeksport kedua yang terbesar di dalam dunia. Dianggarkan lebih 5,000 usahawan Bumi Putra yang terlibat secara langsung dan tidak langsung, dan lebih 50,000 peluang pekerjaan ditawarkan dapat berkembang setelah industri ini diregulasikan. Bila tak diregulasikan, maknanya haram sentiasa diserbu dan mereka-mereka ini dizalimi sebab tidak ada satu undang-undang yang boleh ditegaskan.
So basically what he's saying is that regulating can protect industry players.
Yeah, pretty much, because according to Dr. Abdullah Sani, the pharmacy division of the Health Ministry actually conducted some surprise raids on about 29 vape establishments last week, including the businesses as well as the manufacturing areas.
Pegawai farmasi KKM telah merampas cecair perisa vaping dipercayai mempunyai narkotik bernilai lebih kurang 1.4 juta secara total dan telah memberi impak yang besar terhadap industri ini. Hal ini sebegini tidak sepatutnya berlaku sebelum ada rang undang-undang khusus untuk industri vaping ini. Janganlah pergi serbu dan merampas barang-barang yang tidak ada undang-undang. Terpelik tu. Kita suruh orang pakai baju, tapi kita tak bagi baju. Dan dia bogeh tengah jalan, kita kata dia gila. Dia bukan gila sebab baju tak bagi. Ini yang berlaku. Dia mesti come out with the minimum or the limit or the procedure, or how they want to go about it. You must make sure that the rule must provided and be fair to everybody.
That was the ever effervescent Kapar MP Dato' Abdullah Sani Abdul Hamid asking the government to get serious with vape regulation.
Tasha, I cannot believe that you said today was a dry day. When we have, you know, when we have Dato' Abdullah Sani rolling his R's all over our, you know.
I tried my best to extract as much colour as I could.
Speaking of, we did actually have a rather emotive conversation yesterday with Election Commission Chairman Art Harun about some new campaigning rules that were announced quite abruptly. I think he yesterday expressed quite a lot of frustration over the fact that frustration had been taken out on him just because he had the role of kind of announcing
just
the fact.
Just a messenger.
Pretty much, yeah. And a well-meaning messenger at that. So opposition members were up in arms about this one particular ruling that said that campaigners would need a police permit to do walkabouts or door-to-door campaigning. However, official word has come through that the police won't be going through with this, right?
Yeah, it seems that there's a bit of a takesies backsies moment happening here. Speaker Tan Sri Muhammad Arif Muhammad Yusof wrote to opposition members officially to say that police won't be enforcing the requirement. And the opposition members actually wanted to bring this up in parliament, but the motion was denied. So a group of them, you know, sort of went to the press conference podium to claim their victory. So here's Tanjung Karang MP Tan Sri Noh Omar.
Saya kami semualah kita ucapkan terima kasih. Kalau kepada ketua polis negara, kiranya usul yang kita buat, inilah usul kita supaya undang-undang ini jangan dikuasakan, dan kita harap bahawa penguatkuasaan tarik balik arah ini, ini adalah dibuat dengan serta merta kerana kita dah tak ada masa lagi berkempen. Kita kena, kita ada hari ini tinggal 2 hari lagi. Jadi kesimpulan yang saya nak bagi tahu ialah inilah kerajaan Kong Kali Kong, kerajaan Hancing, kerajaan Flip Flop, kerajaan yang suka buat sesuka hati dia. Dan apabila kita bersuara, barulah kita lihat tindakan-tindakan ini diambil.
So that was Tanjung Karang MP Tan Sri Noh Omar, and the Attorney General Tommy Thomas has also come out to say that the Election Offences Act does not require candidates to obtain police permits for walkabouts and house-to-house visits.
And I think, you know, this is a resolution to a number of the things that we were talking about yesterday, including the timing of it all, because considering that there are only 2 more days for campaigning, considering also the time that bureaucracy takes in our country, it just kind of didn't really logically make sense for what the police were asking for, it seemed like anyway.
I mean, I'm thinking about what Arhan had to go through like the past couple of days, like after all that frustration, in the end it all fizzled out like this. But my thoughts are with you, Arhan.
Dash, what else do you have for us?
Okay, so like I said, you know, things were a little bit dry in the parliament today. So I was on my mission to find colour. So I'm going to share a little bit of like a zinger that came from a past MP who had a pretty serious question about the measures that were being taken to curb the declining value of our ringgit.
Pertanyaan jawab ini seterusnya, saya ingin menjemput Yang Berhormat Tuan Ahmad Marzuk bin Syari, Pengkalan Cepa.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, Tuan Di Pertua. Tanjung Dawai ke Pekan Batu pergi memancing membawa umpan. Rakyat Tanjung Piai sudah bersetuju untuk tolak Pakatan Harapan. Soalan saya nombor 8.
Terima kasih. Tak tahu nak jawab yang mana. Itu pantun tu kah?
So they took it quite lightly. I mean, it was a light-hearted moment, even though it was a bit of a burn, right? and those burns kept coming, courtesy of this ustaz who along with so here's a little clip of his sort of follow-up, along with a bit of a reply from the Deputy Minister of Finance about the actual question.
Kedua Yang Berhormat, dulu bila disebut nilai ringgit, dikatakan kalau Najib turun, ringgit naik. Sekarang Najib dah turun, ringgit pun ikut turun. Terima kasih.
Sila, Timbalan Menteri. 1 minit.
Terima kasih. Kalau kita lihat nilai ringgit ya berbanding dolar Amerika Syarikat, penyusutannya adalah 0.1%. Saya ingat kalau nak dibundarkan hampir-hampir macam dia kekal, ya, tidak berlaku penurunan atau peningkatan yang besar berbanding dengan negara-negara lain. Contohnya won Korea berlaku penyusutan sebanyak -4.0%. Rupiah India 1.7%.
That was Dato' Amiruddin bin Hamzah, the Deputy Finance Minister, responding to Pengkalan Cepa MP's question on the value of the Malaysian Ringgit. Up next, we have our next very exciting segment called Meets an MP.
Tasha, who is our MP today?
So today we've got a minister whose vision for his constituency pretty much lines up with the portfolio that he's managing.
Hi, my name is YB Muhammad Din Ketapi, Menteri Pelancongan Seni dan Budaya Malaysia. Saya berminat untuk kawasan P188 Lahadatu. Dahulunya Silam, sekarang Lahadatu. Untuk memperluaskan lagi sektor pelancongan di kawasan saya sendiri, di mana setakat ini kita ada Danum Bali, kita ada Tabin, dan ada berapa lagi kawasan-kawasan yang lain di kawasan saya itu perlu dibangunkan, diperluaskan, dimajukan lagi, dan kalau boleh buat lagi yang baru.
So that was our MP for today, Datuk Mohamadin bin Ketapi, the Minister of Tourism, Art and Culture. Also, of course, the Member of Parliament for Lahad, Datu. Tash, thank you so much for today's updates. Thank you for all the effort you took in extracting all the juice from today's Parliament. We've also been asking you for your thoughts on how you quit smoking, as well as whether or not you've used M-Quit. I'd also like to just kind of extend that to when you were thinking about quitting smoking, did you go to a pharmacy? Did you go to a doctor? Or did you just kind of go to yourself and the internet? I want to know. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
5:23 in the evening with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman. And earlier on Popit Popit Parliament, we heard our health minister talking a little bit about the summons that have been issued regarding the smoking ban, also discussing how M-Quit exists, which I think some people perhaps, at least here in the studio, did not necessarily know about, which is where the government provides help in over 160 institutions, offering just a number of different avenues, right, to help you quit smoking. So in light of that, we wanted to know, how did you quit, and if you have? And also, when you were thinking of quitting, did you just kind of go it by yourself, or did you actually seek pharmaceutical help? First up, we have this from Bravo, who says, I just got myself certified as a coach and I coached myself out of smoking after 13 years as a regular to heavy smoker.
Bravo, let us know your strategies. You know, I have so many friends who have tried to, quote unquote, coach themselves out, but they haven't really been successful, in the sense that they stop for a while and then they somehow get back into it, or they use special occasions to stop with the full intention of quitting completely, but that's never quite materialized.
On that note, Wisely says, cold turkey lah, it's all about willpower.
Yeah, but I've seen a few people try cold turkey, but from what I gather, it's very difficult to maintain it. A lot of people sort of like revert back to the smoking habit. So willpower is important. The question is how to build that willpower before you engage in the cold turkey strategy.
That, and also I think, you know, opting for help, opting for, you know, just all these other interventions is not necessarily better or worse than cold turkey. I think it's about knowing if you need it, right? So if you are having issues with willpower, then I think knowing at least that there are other people who have had those same issues, knowing that there are other avenues that you can explore, I think is a helpful one to know. Tenny similarly says, I quit smoking, you know, mid-2016 in the middle of, you know, some ill health.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially if you have a very compelling reason to quit, I think that makes it just a bit easier. Just on that note about willpower, though, that isn't always the most effective, right? Because that ranges and it also goes on a day-to-day basis. So let's say you've had an exhausting day at work, you decide to hang out with friends who perhaps smoke. That might influence it a bit, right? Because the idea is to hopefully hide the marshmallow so you don't see and you don't want to engage or have to engage with it.
Madiha, on that note, says, our quit smoking services offer medication in terms of nicotine replacement therapy, as well as counselling to ensure a lifelong commitment to quitting smoking. The definition of that quitting is a person who has stopped smoking for a minimum of 6 months. Just ask our government clinics. We're happy to help. And the use of NRT, that's nicotine replacement therapy, is associated with a variety of side effects. So it is advantageous to seek a physician rather than trying to quit smoking by oneself. In addition to counselling, medical monitoring, clinicians should inform patients of potential side effects which are associated with the use of NRT for the treatment of tobacco dependence.
I'm just thinking of like, because I myself am not a smoker, but when I'm thinking of people who are trying to quit, right, they tend to do it by themselves instead of seeking a physician or going to a pharmacist. And I don't know what the psychology is behind that, whether like if you do it yourself, difficult to talk to someone about it? Like, do you feel, is there like a stigma or something in terms of like admitting you're a smoker and like you want to quit?
I think it's much more likely that people just don't know that that's what a doctor can do for you. I do think that when people think about quitting smoking, it's almost seen as a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, I chose this so I should be able to pull out myself.
That's what I think. But again, you know, I really don't want to speak for smokers because every time I've spoken with smokers about smoking, I realize how little I know about it because I'm not one, right? And that's really what it comes down to. And that also results, I think, sometimes in a certain level of judgment that can come from non-smokers to smokers, simply because we don't know what it's like. But based on my best guess, I would think a lot of people don't necessarily think of doctors as the people to help you. Instead, they think, well, I can do it alone. I chose to do it. Now I can stop.
I'm also wondering if, like, if seeing a doctor means some kind of long-term commitment that you have to sort of commit to, therefore that might be a deterrence to some people who want to quit smoking. I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out from our listeners what they think.
In the meantime, we have someone else who successfully quit, saying, you know, smoked for 15 years, tried to stop a few times. What made me quit was when I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. My negative thoughts were enough for cold turkey to work. Last cigarette, 4th of July, 2017.
Well, you know, congratulations. You know, I think that you're doing great so far. And again, right, I think similar to a previous message we received, it is sometimes because of very dire health consequences that you have to face immediately that, you know, kind of pours cold water on you and you have to quit a bit.
You know, cold turkey seems to be a common theme. Dr. Jack says, I started smoking after Form 5. I stopped in my third year of med school. I went cold turkey, picked a date that was 3 months away, smoked like an immortal for all those 3 months, went completely guilt-free, smoked it out. Friends used to avoid me because I stank of smoke all the time. 3 months came and I was glad it came and I stopped. It was hard the first few days, but after that, the smell of cigarette smoke has repulsed me until now. This was all 20 years ago. Haven't touched a cigarette since.
Well,
keep those stories coming. You can call us at 7733 2900. We're talking about how you quit smoking because, well, the government can help. There's MQuit, but in, you know, in case that's not for you, how did you do it? You can also WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.